Hello and welcome back to the podcast. This is Marco speaking as always, and I'm here covering chapter 2. And since this is population, I will be increasing the population of this show permanently, introducing Mr. Ricardo Sanchez.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, so let's start off by reading off these key questions. You want to take this, Ricardo? All
right, sure. All right. Key question number 1. Where in the world do people live and why? Interesting. Question number 2. Why do populations rise or fall in particular places? Question number 3. Why does population composition matter? Interesting. And question number 4. How do governments affect population change?
All right, we're going to be looking over these. We're going to be answering these questions throughout the whole episode as we go through this chapter. Let's start off by why not defining population? Basically, it's a number of people in a place. Number of a certain species. All right, so let's move on over to density. Ricardo, do you want to go over what density is? Or
all right, okay. Population density is the measure of people in a selective unit of land. But however, there are two types of population density: arithmetic and psychological population density. Arithmetic population density is certain numbers of people in a land area, but yet psychological population density.
So, like in arithmetic population density, it's like saying that in Bangladesh there's 2,542 people per square mile. That's a whole lot more than right here where we are in the middle of nowhere. Anyways, and let's keep on to psychologic population density.
Yet, psychologic population density is people per unit of agricultural arable land.
Okay, so since we got the density down, let's move on to population distribution. Population distribution is basically, well, what was that term we got from the previous section? Distribution. Where the things go, they spread out. That's what population distribution is. We are seeing where people go, where they spread out. What if it's an individual or a group?
Alright. To map population distribution, we usually, as geographers, use dot maps. Dot maps are the easiest kind of map to show population distribution. Also,
okay, so if I were to be looking at this on a population map of the world, and it was a dot map, I would see more dots in places like Northeast United States, in Nigeria, in the coast, Western Europe, and South and East Asia.
But however, to get this information for the dot maps, censuses are put out. Even though censuses are not the best, may not have the complete and total information, they are the most accurate for us as geographers to receive this information.
Yep, Ricardo, that's why the census actually helps us see the growth in the world in population-wise.
But however, Thomas Malthus introduced a theory. He thought that population would grow exponentially while food, agriculture, would grow arithmetically.
But what do those big words mean? Exponentially is basically just a big word for saying that it's growing at a rapid, sudden pace, while the food is going at a pretty steady pace, just getting just a little bit bigger each year, while population could just skyrocket one year.
All right, but that's when Malthus said that we, as people, would not have enough food in the future, so that is a kind of a silly theory, but he said it.
It could be true, you know. Population is getting bigger, and unless we find some new technology out there to help us get this food, we're going to start to run out of food, even though most of the food goes to waste anyways, but, you know.
That's another story.
All right, Ricardo. So, another way to find a pretty good rate of growth is by finding the doubling time of a country, or the amount of time that it takes for their population to double. Oh my god, these words are so easy. Just read them and you got them.
But yet, doubling time can lead to population explosion, where the population number pretty much booms. It goes past the ceiling. I mean, everyone's having babies at that time. I mean, it's crazy.
So basically, a population explosion is when the population is doubling time just goes so low, and then it starts to come back up again. Okay, so let's move on to probably the most important model in this chapter. It's the DTM model, also known as the demographic transition model. It is based on two things, the crude birth rate and the crude death rate. There are basically four stages, and although this is probably one of those things that you should probably just look at the book yourself, I'm going to try my best to explain them. Basically, in the first stage, you have a pretty equal birth and death rate. They're both high up there, but the population stays just about the same because there really is no growth. Then, in the second stage, you start to find some newer technology, so the death rate starts to go down, and the birth rate is still about the same rate, so the population is actually going up. Then after that, you have women starting to go into the workforce, so the birth rate starts to go down, and you have the same technology helping the birth rate. So they're both going down about the same, but you're still getting a slight increase in population. Then finally, in the fourth stage, you have both the population crude birth rate and death rate meeting again for quite some time, because the women are fully into the workforce now, so they have no time for having babies, and there is enough technology to keep the death rate pretty low. And basically, that is the demographic transition model in a nutshell.
All right, with the ever-growing population, there might be some policies put in to stop the increasing population growth, like the one in China, where they said you could only have one child. But most people nowadays believe that policy is still going. But that is just a myth. That policy was put out a couple of years ago. Also, some of these policies, well, there's two types of policies, expansive and restrictive. Expansive policies on the population make people want to... The government says basically that you have to have more children because there is a low fertility rate, pretty much. But restrictive...
So basically, in expansive, the government is encouraging the population to have more babies because there'll probably be some added tax money or something.
There are also restrictive policies. Restrictive policies pretty much just say to not have kids. Plain and simple. Do not have any more kids. One, there can be many reasons, but that's up to the government. But pretty much it doesn't say don't have kids. You maybe could have one, two, or three, but don't exaggerate and have like 20 kids. That's what pretty much the government wants to see. Just a low amount of kids, not to go all the way out.
So thank you, Ricardo. That's basically all we have for today. Remember to go back over those key questions and make sure you understand all of this, because remember, this will be showing up a whole lot throughout this class.
Throughout your life, pretty much. These is things you need to know for life, right?
Yes.
Should I say that?
I like knowing about DTM. No, really, because, say I want to move to a different country, you know? I'll probably not want to go somewhere in phase one. Probably want to go to phase four or something like that. All right, thank you for joining us today. This has been the podcast. Until tomorrow or next time, depends
Ryan
when you listen to
you.
This.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan, for interrupting us.